Test. How's my monotone coming through?
Oh, nice and gray.
Let's keep those levels stable.
Yeah, I'll do let me switch some knobs. Go ahead.
Test.
Yep, still nice and dry.
Perfect.
Just like a Midwestern cornfield in the fall.
Hey guys, this is Gail Kim from Impact Wrestling, and you are listening to the 8-Bit Suplex Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of 8-Bit Suplex here on the Social Suplex Podcast Network. It is probably the biggest weekend in Impact Wrestling and probably the last decade. They've had some struggles. They've had some, you know, kind of minor league look. They've had some kind of, you know, but you know what? This weekend they're playing with the big guys as we look forward to Rebellion in the main event of Kenny Omega challenging Rich Swann, both belts on the line, both the Impact Championship and the AEW Championship. Before I get too far along, though, in my excitement, I do want to bring in our special guest host. You've heard him a few times already before on this podcast. He's the fellow dad, but without the body to prove it, Mr. Dan Coffin.
How are you doing tonight, Josh?
I feel a little cheeky, I guess. I don't know. That introduction,
sounds like it.
I didn't have that pre-written. I probably should have, because I would have talked myself out of saying that. But it's good to have you back on the podcast, Dan.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Got the last minute call to sub in. And, you know, it's been a while since I've been on the show. So I figured I'd come back on and grace everybody with my beautiful voice.
Yeah, thank you for early 2000s, you know, depressed rock, Stained.
Yeah.
That was, you know, for the kids out there, Stained was a band that you should never listen to. But, you know, we got a lot of stuff to get into with Impact Wrestling, Dan. We're going to get into it, obviously, with the Rebellion preview. We're not going to review any of the past shows because on this podcast, we've been a little bit behind. We've been a little bit scattered. So we've missed reviewing so many shows. We're just going to pick back up right here in the middle and kind of take Rebellion, and then we're going to run forward with it from Rebellion on, kind of similar to how we kind of did like Slammiversary on when we started the show. Just kind of give ourselves a hard reset here and a look forward. But Dan, before we do that, let's talk video games. From what I understand from our little pre-recording chat, you got some gaming you've been getting into here, mixing it up.
Yeah, there's actually a couple games I've been playing lately. Nothing new or exciting or anything. The first one, like if I have a stressful day at work, I might fire up the Pinball Effects 3. I've downloaded like a bunch of tables on that, and I'll just like drink a few beers and just like stare at the screen and just like forget about everything else and just smack a ball around.
Yeah, sure.
They've got a ton of like Star Wars and Marvel tables and stuff that I really like to play. Plus they also have the download packs with like, I'm telling you my age here, but like some of the classic pinball games like Funhouse and Dr. Dude and stuff like that.
Sure.
I remember playing those as a kid in real arcades, you know, with hands on. And so it's fun. They like put, you know, extra special effects in it and stuff to make it more like 3D, you know, for the kids these days.
Sure. Everything's got to be three dimensions.
Yeah, it's nice and relaxing. I don't have to think too much about it. The other game I've been playing, which is not as relaxing at all, it stresses me the hell out, is Doom Eternal. I don't know if you've played the new Doom remakes at all.
No, I haven't. I haven't played any of the remakes. I am an original Doom player, of course, as many people are. But no, I actually haven't. And it's largely in part to I have to pick and choose what games I can and cannot play in front of children. And Doom Eternal does not strike me one, Dan, as one that I could play in front of my children.
Yeah, I wouldn't play this one in front of the kids. It's incredible violence, you know, Satanism and demons and cussing and, you know, everything a good growing boy needs.
Sure. I mean, Satanism, demons, and cussing are three of my favorite things, Dan. So it sounds like a game that I would have a lot of fun playing. But yeah, I never got around to it. You know, I had a window, I think, with the first new Doom that came out, not Eternal, the one that came out before it, or maybe, you know, my kids would not have been old enough to understand what they were looking at. But now they are very.
Oh, they absorb it, man.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Maybe I should have done it so that, you know, things like Satanism, demons, and cussing didn't bother them as, you know, 5 and 4 year olds as they are presently.
Your son would be asking for a heavy metal guitar for Christmas.
Yeah. So far we haven't graduated from like the SpongeBob SquarePants soundtrack, Dan. So maybe we should, you know, put an axe in his hand. We'll see what happens.
Ease him into the crunching death metal riffs.
There you go.
But yeah, those games are fun. Like you, I played the original Doom. I mean, I played it when it first came out. We used to play it in my dorm in college. That's how old I am. On the LAN there. It was like the first like multiplayer gaming experience I ever played like that. So it was like revolutionary at the time. You know, and I played Doom 2 and I played it for, you know, all the different versions through the years. And then the new one came out. I mean, it's not really a remake. It's more like kind of an alternate story, I guess.
Sure.
It's kind of tied into it. I loved it. It was great. It was just like nonstop. You just run around shooting demons. It's just like, it's almost like a ballet with your hands. It's like a constant cycling of shooting and getting energy and finding bullets and then running around. And it was pretty fun. There's a little bit of exploring in it. It's fun for a first person shooter. I never played any of the online stuff. I don't do that. I don't like getting screamed at by 12 year olds.
Yeah, I think we've passed the point, Dan, of being competitive. Like I used to play Street Fighter, and I tell this often when someone brings up fighting games. I think Rohit brought up that he plays with fighting games. I was like, listen, 10 years ago, I was already way out of my league with fighting games. And right. I tried to play like Marvel versus Capcom 2 online, and it was an absolute bloodbath. I don't know that I landed a single strike, Dan. It was.
Yeah, that's not appealing to me. I don't like that. I mean, I don't enjoy just like not even like being competitive at all.
No,
like if I get beat, it's one thing, but right. Like to not even like get a punch in, that's not fun.
Right.
So I never played any of that part of Doom. But the game itself was awesome. You know, I played all the way through it, found all the secrets and everything. And then I guess it was last year they came out with Doom Eternal, which is like, you know, the sequel to that. It's, how do I describe it? It's just more of everything. So if you don't really like that Doom game or you're kind of iffy on it, you're not going to like this at all. But if you love that game, you might love this even more. But some of it I don't like as much. Like there's a lot more jumping platforming type stuff in it, okay. Which the controls are kind of iffy on it. So I'm not a real fan of that. If you like reading about lore, there's a ton of that in there. I don't like playing games where I have to like do homework and read.
Sure.
It's like I like being in the game and like, you know, they have a few cutscenes and stuff and tell the story, but this thing is ridiculous. You like collect these codex things and it's like a freaking book every one you get. And it's just like I read the first few and then I was like, you know what? I'm an old man. I don't have much time.
I've played
my time on this earth.
I've played probably maybe not all of them, but damn near all of the Elder Scrolls games, right? And like every single Elder Scrolls game has about, I don't know, 7,000 books in it. I've never read a single one. I respect that they put those in there, and it's definitely cool that they do. But yeah, it's just I don't have time for that.
I'm sure it enhances the game for some people, right?
Or just, but, I mean, if you like Lord of the Rings and other like fantasy books and things like that, especially in Elder Scrolls, but man, I can't imagine reading the Codex and Doom would be all that enticing. And I would say that I just wanted to point this out. Doom does, of course, have a tie loosely to wrestling because the Doom motion picture back from 2005 did star one Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah, I remember I watched that when it first came out. I haven't touched it since.
It was
then.
An
the
only thing I remember. Horseshit movie, Dan. That's
the only thing I remember about it was there was like a 10-minute sequence near the end where it actually goes into like first player, and that's cool. It's like, why didn't you do this through more of the movie? But yeah, the rest of it was trash. But Doom Eternal is pretty fun. I recommend it. The only other problem with it is that I don't like is the menu system. There's like 8 million different like mods and upgrades and things like for your armor, for all your weapons, for just your regular old movements and stuff like that. There's all these things and you collect power-ups and all this. You know, some people are real big into that and they like tricking out their loadout and all that stuff. That's fine for some games, but like with the original Doom, it was like you just pick up a shotgun and run around and shoot things. Like, I don't want to, you know, wade through menus all night.
Yeah,
Doom, I just want to go rip some demons apart.
Doom feels like a game that shouldn't have RPG elements.
It's just, definitely.
It should just be you pick up your gun and you just blow things up. And before we get off of Doom, I do want to say that one of my early memories of Doom wasn't actually playing Doom. It was playing a included in a cereal box copy of it that was actually called Chex Quest. And you were literally a Chex cereal man. And you walked around in first person and like your melee weapon was like an electrified spork. So it was pretty okay. Funny. Yeah, no, I mean, Doom has obviously been cloned and copied. That original, first-person shooter style that you mentioned with the Dwayne Johnson movie. Chex Quest was awesome. And it actually was a really fun game. And it was free. Like, you got it out of a damn cereal box.
So wasn't the original Doom, was it shareware at first?
Yeah.
And then mm-hmm. they put out, okay. Yeah. I was trying to remember if I... Like I said, I used to play a lot of shareware stuff like Commander Keen and all Duke Nukem and all that crap.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was trying to remember, and I know I bought a commercial version later, but I remember like having like get in a computer, in a computer magazine, and then the back pages there was like all these random computer companies, and you'd like, fill out a checklist and say, hey, I want these 10 shareware games, and they just like mail you from some random discs that just look like they're printed at home, and you'd pop it in and play it, and then they'd say, all right, you just finished level one. If you'd like levels, right. 2 through 30,
right,
then send $30
exactly.
here.
Yeah, exactly. And that was kind of like id Software's whole thing with Doom, is that they would jump in and say, okay, and then they opened it up to modding too. You could, there's all kinds of community mods, and this was 1993. And you remember the internet very well then, I'm sure. And I vaguely remember the internet then, and it was not good. So
no,
your 56K modem was, it was tough. Doom, great game to be playing. Similarly, I'm kind of ramping up here, Dan, getting ready for Resident Evil Village, which, is loosely Resident Evil 8. I have my pre-order in official, for it. Great game series. I'm super excited. I've been intentionally dark after seeing the first trailer that they announced during the PlayStation 5 event back in the either fall or winter. I don't remember exactly when it is. These pandemic days run together. But since that first initial launch trailer announcing the game, I have not looked any further at it. I've seen the tall, spooky lady that everyone's talking about that's like, because, hey, listen, that's what the internet looks for, right?
Look at her. She's huge.
Exactly. To steal a line from Rich Latta, our good friend from One Nation Radio, video games are taking the Vince McMahon page of, blonde, big-titted white woman. So it just is what it is. I don't know that she's necessarily blonde. It's probably more white as far as the hair goes. But anyways, Dan, we got a awesome, awesome, awesome card here to break down with Rebellion. Coming up on Sunday, April 25th, we'll, of course, talk about the main event, but we're going to talk about the rest of the card right now. Before we get to that, this kind of goes hand in hand with the main event, but I want to talk to you about this real quick, and that is that they are bringing in Mauro Ranallo specifically to commentate the main event. We haven't seen Mauro calling much since he left WWE. I'm really freaking excited about this.
Yeah, I think he'll do great. I mean, he always brings that big fight feel whenever you watch any like the MMA stuff or when he was on NXT. Yeah, sometimes he goes a little overboard with like the rap lyrics and stuff.
Sure.
But he's an acquired taste. I enjoy that kind of stuff. Some people, it irks them, but I'm real excited to see Mauro again out there.
Yeah, we call those people uncultured swine, Dan. But no, I'm kidding. Unless, I don't know that any of our seven listeners don't like Mauro Ranallo. So he's like you said, anytime that he's behind the desk, it feels important. It feels like it's a actual fight. Some of the shoot fighting that he calls kind of lends his credibility to when he does call, wrestling matches. I think Matt Stryker does a little bit of that, but he's not on the level that Mauro Ranallo is. Right. I'm super excited about that. Excuse me. And, but yeah, no, I wish he was calling the whole thing. to be perfectly honest with you, no offense to D'Lo yep. and to Matt Stryker. But yeah, I mean, he's another level. And hey, you know what? Now he's got a working event with, with Impact. He's calling a match with, an AEW star. I'd like to see more of them. We'll see if this
maybe they'll open the door.
Yeah, right. The forbidden door of Mauro Ranallo, right? so let's talk first Impact Knockout Tag Team title match, Dan. Of course, the inaugural champions since the recrowning, Fire and Flava, which, of course, is the team of Kiera Hogan and Tasha Steelz. They are defending against Jordynne Grace, who revealed her mystery partner this week on Impact. Someone we haven't seen for a while, Miss Rachel Ellering. This could be pretty good, Dan.
I'm kind of still iffy on Fire and Flava. Sure. They're kind of hit or miss for me sometimes, but Jordynne Grace can bring it, and I'm excited to see Rachel Ellering back. She kind of got short shrift in NXT. I mean, she only wrestled real short time there, and then bum knee. Yeah. She tore her ACL, I believe it was, so she was out for like a year, and then COVID hit and they got rid of her, right? And we haven't really seen much of her then. Now, she did have like a cup of coffee with AEW. She was on
couple dark matches.
Dark, I believe, and I think she was in the women's tournament paired up with Dasha.
Yes.
But even then, we didn't really get to see much of her there too, so it's good to see her back. Hopefully she'll get like a little longer run. Maybe they'll bring her out a few more times, and maybe it'll turn into something more permanent. Maybe they'll win, and they could win the championships. It's not unheard of for somebody to come back like this, and they just strap them up and set them off.
Yeah, and it's true is that Impact obviously clearly does not have a problem putting their belts on people that are not signed to the promotion, right?
Right.
Considering the whole premise of our main event and the fact that the tag team titles are currently held by Pinjuice, right? So it doesn't really seem to matter much to them. Hey, listen, you're on our show. As long as you have our belt, you're going to keep coming back. It's probably the way they kind of think about it.
Right.
And I think that's probably a smooth thing. I think they view Jordynne Grace as someone that doesn't need a belt. And that's kind of why she doesn't have one right now, because she's Jordynne Grace, right? But man, I'm going to go ahead and say, that Jordynne Grace and Rachel Ellering get the win here.
Yeah, I can definitely see that happening.
So, well, let's move right along then. We got a faction versus faction type thing here, which is kind of the old school Impact TNA guys, the team of Storm, Sabin, Edwards, and Mac. Taking on, of course, Eric Young and Violent by Design. Eric Young, Dan, posted on Twitter this week that he wrestled this week's main event of Impact Wrestling, his individual match against Eddie Edwards, with a torn ACL the whole match, which is kind of remarkable because you shouldn't be walking when that happens. But the other part of this, it kind of makes you wonder how much he's actually going to do here.
Yeah. I mean, you got to be a tough motherfucker to do something like that. It's unbelievable that he even finished the match. I don't know how he would possibly contribute much in this one. Maybe take like one or two bumps, or maybe they'll knock him out before the match, and then somebody will replace him, that kind of thing. Yeah. We'll see.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, it'll be interesting to see. I think the good guys got to get this one, though. I think, you don't have all these guys out here, for no reason, in my opinion.
Right.
So,
I mean, the rest of the seven guys in this match can carry it pretty well. These are all professional wrestlers. They're pretty good.
They're all super good. I mean, and then hopefully, there's some definite wind issues for some of these guys in Violent by Design.
Right.
I hope that it's not a long one for their sake, because Rhino doesn't have much in the tank.
Well, that's probably why this is an 8-man tag, right? It's you don't have to rely on like two guys or four guys. But if you got, they can all cover it.
If you got two old guys, you got a guy with one leg, and you got one young guy on one team. So yeah, it makes sense to cover that up with an 8-man tag. But also, I mean,
right?
it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think the good guys pick up the win here.
It'll be a nice little, you know, taste for the beginning of the pay-per-view.
Yeah, it definitely should not be anywhere near the end of the card. It definitely should be early.
No.
This next one here that we're going to talk about, I think has the makings, quite honestly, to be one of the best matches, if not the second. I mean, obviously not going to be better than the main event. Let's not kid ourselves. But for the rest of the card, this could be the best match. And that's going to be, of course, the draw, Sami Callihan taking on Trey Miguel. Trey Miguel, since you know the Rascals' departure, has looked awesome. He's come back. He's looking more confident. He's ready to go. I don't think Sami Callihan needs wins. I think he can lose and still be Sami Callihan. I think Trey Miguel wins this one. I think it's going to be a pretty damn good match. Because listen, Sami Callihan, as much as his character work is goofy and you know it's gimmicky to the nth degree, man can still wrestle, and I think Trey Miguel gets the win here.
Yeah, I think, you know, since Trey's come back, he's trying to prove something since he got kind of left behind, it seems like. Maybe that's what people think. I think he's going to do great. Like you said, Sami Callihan, he's one of those Teflon people at this point where it doesn't really matter if he wins or loses. As long as he goes out there and, like, does some violence, everybody's happy with it. I'm not a huge fan of the last man standing stipulation in matches, but I think these guys can pull it off.
Yeah, I think so too. And like, I think that's a great point for you to call out the whole left behind thing, because not only is he the one that's still in Impact while his trio's partners went off to NXT, they're the NXT tag team champions, Dan. So
right.
they went to the biggest company in the world and became tag champs. So
you know. Yeah, they came over there and got a rocket strapped to them. You know, they're on basically every week.
Yeah.
You know, they, for whatever reason, the crowd booed them last week or 2 weeks ago when they came out. I don't know if you saw that. It was very odd, but that's NXT. That's their fans. Who knows? But yeah, those guys, you know, they've been all over NXT. And so I feel like Trey's like, you know what? I'm going to show them that I can step up too. You know, I'm worth it too. And, you know, he's on his way to doing it so far.
Yeah, it looks like, we're on the topic of NXT, not that we want to stay there too long, but it looks like former, of course, Impact Knockouts champion, the longest reigning one in Impact history, Taya Valkyrie, now known as, was it Frankie Monet?
Frankie Monet.
She looks like she's going to get over there and get a match real quick with the NXT Women's Division champion, you know, Raquel Gonzalez. So, we'll see what happens there. Impact obviously, you know, has talent. Then, you know, they'll get those call-ups.
It's hard to not talk about NXT when you talk about Impact. You're because right. The people flow back and forth so much.
Yeah.
Frankie Monet, I guess. Yeah, I could see her, like, just going up pretty quick, not even staying in NXT and getting the call-up pretty quick. She seems
– Yeah.
You know, she's got lots of experience.
She's all around the world. I mean, quite frankly, I was honestly kind of surprised.
BBTWW.
Exactly. I was surprised actually that she even went to NXT in the first place and not straight to a SmackDown or a Raw. But maybe it's because they're workshopping the new name and things like that. I don't know why you would take a worldwide recognized name in women's wrestling and change it. But hey,
well, because they don't see the worldwide recognition.
That's true.
They're not.
No, that's right.
If they didn't come up in WWE, that's not to them worldwide recognition. So, but this is not a WWE podcast.
No, it's not. But you know what? I mean, this podcast, we have to talk about, you know, some AEW stuff. We have to talk about some NXT stuff, and that's fine. It's totally good. You know, when you talk about the fact that, you know, like some of the best wrestlers that WWE has had over the, you know, most recent years all wrestled at Impact at one time, right? Including the recently fired Samoa Joe. Hey, maybe we see Joe and, you know, there's a big event that Impact is having right around his 90 days being up. So maybe we see Joe make a return home. I'm not going to say he is for sure. It would probably be a pay grade down for him. But hey, you never know. Moving on.
Yeah, he might show up. Scott D'Amore has been hinting pretty heavily.
Yeah.
I don't know if that means anything. That might just be all carny stuff, but
man, Scott D'Amore is such a carny, but sometimes he is, sometimes he shows his hand and it's exactly what happens. Right. Like, and you know, the same shit with Don Callis, to be quite honest, you think, oh, this is just carny shit. What are they, whatever. Right. And the next thing you know, it's absolutely everything that they said that was going to happen. So, who knows? And by the way, speaking of, you know, you can't really.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes. So doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Not talk about WWE when you're talking about Impact. This next match, of course, is between podcast co-hosts, Matt Cardona taking on Brian Myers. I don't have a whole lot to say about this one. I don't know that I'm necessarily excited to see it. I don't know that that's the word I would use. But, you know, both guys are professional wrestlers. They know what they're doing. Brian Myers is, I think, a heck of a hand. And Matt Cardona always looks like $1 million. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Probably been under 10 minutes or right around 10 minutes. So it probably won't get too much time on the card. I'm going to say Cardona picks up the win here.
I can see that. I mean, this seems like more, this is just like these guys went to management and said, hey, we can put on a great match. We've known each other forever. We're friends. You know, we've been edge heads together, put us out there. So it'll be a good match. I can't see those guys botching it up too bad. No. It probably won't burn the house down or anything, but it'll be a solid wrestling match.
Yeah, no, I agree. This match, this next one should be absolutely incredible. It is a triple threat match for the X Division title with the defending Ace Austin, of course, with Madman Fulton in his corner, taking on Josh Alexander and TJP. The worst guy you know on the internet. He's just making it so hard to watch him. But then he goes out and the week before last, he had an absolute banger of a match one-on-one with Josh Alexander. I mean, it was one of the best TV matches I had seen all month. And, but then he, you know, you accidentally click on his Instagram story and you absolutely hate yourself for ever watching the man wrestle. But that said, this should be an excellent, excellent match. Triple threats. The old rule is you kind of take the house money and say it's a retain. But I wouldn't mind seeing Josh Alexander pick up the win here, Dan.
Yeah, this is my second best, most anticipated match of the night. These guys are awesome. I love watching Josh Alexander wrestle. Mm. You know, like I said before on the show, I'm a sucker for headgear. He's also jacked to the gills. He's another situation kind of like Trey Miguel, where once Ethan Page left, you know, Josh Alexander was kind of left behind a little bit, maybe people thought, and he's really stepped up to show everybody like, no, I'm my own guy and I can kick ass too. Ace Austin's really good. I'm not going to talk about the other guy in the match.
Yeah. He's a great wrestler.
He'll put on a great match. Let's say that. He's very entertaining to watch in the wrestling ring. I imagine Ace is probably going to retain. You know, he's the champion. Usually champions retain in a triple threat. Plus he's got Madman Fulton out there. So I hope Fulton doesn't get involved too much in the match. I think this is probably going to be it. I mean, a sleeper for best match of the night, depending on what happens in the main event. This might be it.
Yeah, no, you're right. This one would be good. The Trey Miguel, Sammy Callahan. I mean, there's a lot of good matches on this card. I think this is set up to be a pretty damn good pay-per-view.
I was surprised when I read the card. I was like, oh my gosh, this is like a real wrestling card. This is like something that, like, hey, I really would like to pay my money to see this. You know, and sometimes Impact is kind of lacking on those cards where they might have one or two matches, but this is like five or six that, like, hell yeah, let's watch it.
Yeah, I mean, it also kind of helps when you're using wrestlers from three different promotions. So,
yeah.
You know, maybe, hey, listen, that might be a formula for them. I mean, truthfully, to get their pay-per-view buys up, to get views on their, you know, weekly television, why not have open working relationships with other companies that are not WWE? So I think it's super smart. Speaking of a couple of former WWE wrestlers, the Knockouts title match shows the champion Deonna Purrazzo, the virtuosa, and all about her to Neil Dashwood, of course, accompanied to the ring by Caleb with a K. You know, I've always been a fan of Tennille Dashwood. I think she's a great wrestler. She does a lot of really good character work. But I mean, Deonna's just been running absolute roughshod over this division. I don't see Tennille being the one to take it off of her.
Yeah, unless there's some screwy stuff with our friend Caleb with a K, I don't see it happening either. Deonna's just like on another level right now, it seems like, from the rest of them.
Yeah.
And I don't see that stopping anytime soon. I don't see anybody coming up, you know, in the next few weeks that's going to take that. And it's not going to be Tennille Dashwood. I don't see this one going real long either. It's kind of like a palate cleanser for some of the others. But, you know, it's another one that's got a chance to be pretty good if they let them go. So yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. We'll see. Like I mentioned before, there are, of course, three wrestling promotions taking place in this night. The two that you think of course, are AEW and Impact because of the main event. But, of course, our Impact Tag Team Champions are currently Finjuice, courtesy of New Japan Pro Wrestling. Great to see those guys getting some work, obviously, during the pandemic and not necessarily being able to get over to Japan super easy. So they're, of course, going to go up against the Good Brothers, you know, Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson, looking to get their championship titles back. You know, we've seen the Good Brothers on TV more so, it seems, on AEW even. But yeah, I think this could be a pretty damn good match too, as long as, you know, they use Gallows sparingly and in the right spots. The other three guys are absolute pros. I'd like to see this one go a good, you know, 15 minutes. I think the Good Brothers get it back just because I don't know how long of a run Finjuice is going to have with the belts. Although, you know, with the lockdown going on in Japan right now, they might help them. They might stay back longer and hang on to it for another pay-per-view.
Yeah. That lockdown that just went down today in Japan, might plans change, pal, you know?
Yeah.
Like you, I was thinking that it was probably going to be the Good Brothers take the belts back. Finjuice finishes up their run in Impact, and then they head back to New Japan. But if they can't go back, they might keep them around. So that kind of throws this into like the who knows category for me. Yeah. I've enjoyed Finjuice. David Finlay had a great run recently with New Japan in the New Japan Cup, surprising a lot of people. He really impressed me in it. Juice is Juice, you know, he's always entertaining. And yeah, I think it's going to be pretty good. Just like you said, just like limit Doc Gallows, limit his minutes like an aged NBA veteran.
Right.
And this could be pretty good. But yeah, I think regardless of what the Japan lockdown, I think the Good Brothers are probably still going to pick up the win here.
I think so too. Just because you can't make your plans around whether or not Japan is open. I'd like to say you can, and technically I guess they could, but you know, I just don't see it happening. But I think, you know, the Good Brothers are signed to Impact. It makes sense to put that belt back on them. But hey, you know, I'd be interested to see maybe if there's an increase in buys from Finjuice being there, just because, you know, they have some, you know, some, maybe some fans in Japan that might tune in.
Right.
Probably not, but you never know. I'm just, listen, it's a podcast, Dan. We just wildly speculate about shit we don't know about. So the main event is all that we have left to talk about here. And I want to take a step back and talk about the buildup for this event. Obviously, we've seen Kenny hanging around Impact since, what was it, late last year. And he's wrestled a few matches on Impact, on a couple of their bigger shows. Great main event at Hard to Kill. It's been a very Impact promoted match. AEW has shown up on Impact, you know, with the Tony Khan commercials and things like that. They're all very, very funny, great entertainment. But AEW has not promoted this match quite literally at all. And I find that very confusing, not necessarily confusing, but perplexing to the point that, you know, their champion is appearing on another show, Dan. You'd think they'd talk about that.
Yeah, it's just been kind of odd, hasn't it? I mean, they mentioned it a little bit, but like you would imagine that they'd just be like from the beginning of the show to the end of the show, it's like constant mentions about it. I don't know what kind of business relationship like is causing these decisions to be made. It's very weird.
Yeah.
I can't explain it. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I talked about it with Floyd and Austin on All Things Elite this week some, and we had speculated, and this was, I believe it was a point that Floyd made, that, you know, we don't know what TNT is saying to them, right? Like, no, right. You can't promote Access TV on our channel. Okay, fine.
Right.
You know what? There's like 17 hours of AEW on YouTube every week.
Right.
Between Dark and Dark Elevation. I mean, it's a slight exaggeration. It's probably only 16 hours. But there's ample opportunity. And Kenny wrestled on Dark Elevation this week, and there was no mention of this match. No mention of this pay-per-view, none of it. Chris Jericho on Talk is Jericho promoted this match more in one segment than AEW has at all. And even he even told people to go buy the pay-per-view. So it's very strange. And I have to imagine that Turner's involved here and really clamping down on them.
Yeah, maybe, you know, the agreements were made before TNT really knew what was going on and there was a different plan and they were going to promote it more. And then once, you know, TNT got word about it, they, you know, smacked the wrist and said, no, you're not going to be able to do that. I don't know. I mean, maybe it'll come out eventually. Maybe, you know, Sean Ross Sapp or somebody will come out with a story about it at some point at a later date. But
yeah
it seems weird.
Well, you know, I could always message my best friend Tommy Dreamer. I just don't want to overstep and you know, I don't want to you know, make him
right.
He has to give me insider information because that's not what friends do, you know. But it's so strange because, you know, you talk about this Forbidden Door, right? Everyone thought it was going to be AEW and New Japan. Well, okay, maybe a little bit, right? John Moxley's, you know, appeared back and forth, but that's kind of what his contract has always been. And then you get the New Japan, you know, showing up on Impact, not on AEW. And you know, it's interesting, you know, it's very interesting. AEW, of course, had, you know, seems to have a working relationship with, what is it? DDT, that, Takeshita, mm-hmm. Came from. And obviously with some of the Joshi promotions and things like that. But they still haven't gotten New Japan on their TV and, you know, they've barely had Impact on their TV. They've had the Good Brothers, I had hoped, I had high hopes back when this first started that we'd see a lot of back and forth with, you know, AEW versus Impact matchups. And for the most part, it hasn't happened.
Yeah. That's the other thing weird too, is like, just like you said, when this first happened, everybody was like, oh my God, we're going to have invasions on Dynamite and all this. And like, other than the Good Brothers, it's like, there's really not been a whole lot of crossover. I have to wonder what's going to happen. So in the match, you know, it just seems like Kenny Omega is going to win this, right? To me anyway. So he wins it. Is he just going to treat the Impact Championship like he treats the AAA Championship? And it's just like never mentioned again, like on TV, except for occasionally. I mean, they did have the one the one title match on there, but they never mention it again. I mean, yeah, he's the belt collector, and they only talk about
right.
You know, the impact, the AEW World Championship.
And I'll say too that AEW doesn't talk about him as the AEW champion as much as Impact does. It's all very right. strange. And it feels like, you know, we saw again this week on Dynamite that the TNT Championship headlined another show. And that appears to be what's always going to happen with the TNT belt, is it's always going to get these prime spots, whether that be like kicking off the show or ending the show. And it almost feels like Turner stepping in and saying, oh, our name's on this belt. It needs to be prioritized. Mm. It almost right. feels like that. And obviously we're not the AEW podcast. We're not as connected as, you know, like Floyd and Austin are, but it feels very disconnected in a way that I want to blame Cody Rhodes for, but, you know, but you know, so who knows? I mean, it could just be Turner. It could be, I don't know.
It just feels like there's a lot of decisions being made in smoky back rooms that we are not privy to that are causing it to just feel weird on TV.
Yeah, we're not in the room where it happened, Dan.
No.
That's from unfortunately. Hamilton, for those of you that don't know. So, you know, getting into that, I think you're smart to say that Kenny is probably going to win. In my mind, there's only one other option, and that's that nobody wins. And that was kind of – that was the prediction that I gave – on All Things Elite this week. I think I'm sticking with that prediction. I just don't see, especially because they're not even talking about Rich Swann. They haven't mentioned Rich Swann's name once on AEW. I can't imagine any scenario in which that he wins the AEW championship, because then he'd have to show up on Wednesday and people would be like, wait, what the fuck just happened?
Because right.
they casual people that are watching Dynamite maybe don't even know that this thing is even happening. So there's been no promotion from AEW on this, you know, particular thing. So yeah, I mean, to me, I think there could be a situation where Moose gets involved, because
yeah, I was going to say, Moose is nowhere to be found on this card, and he's definitely feels like he should be involved in this somehow. Right.
Yeah.
So I could definitely see something like that happen.
I mean, he wasn't on Impact for about a month or however long it's been since Sacrifice, when he lost the unification match to Rich Swann. But he did come out and cut a promo on Rich Swann that basically said, hey man, don't fucking lose. Because that's, you know, basically like, that's our belts, because I want to come get them from right. you. So, you know, hey, maybe Moose takes that into his own hands. You never know. That seems likely.
Well, I'll tell you something else too. I don't know if you've seen some pictures of Moose lately, but that dude is ripped.
Yeah, he's completely
and you don't
jacked.
Get ripped like that just for nothing. I mean, it seems like he's gearing up for kind of a title run or something.
What you're saying is he's not doing 2 days to wear a 3-piece suit.
No.
And I completely agree. So whether that means Moose, you know, does something on Impact, maybe Moose goes and shows up on AEW. I hate to speculate even about that anymore, just because the last 6 months of who's gonna be and nothing's happened, except that we get more right. Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson. Which, listen, I don't want to sound like I'm being hard on those guys, because I'm really not. There's nothing wrong with the Good Brothers, but there's also other people that I'd rather see more.
Yeah, I think there's two options on this, just like you. Kenny is probably gonna win. It's probably like a 90% chance he wins, 10% like nobody wins. And there is no way that Rich Swann will never, and The Rock means never, win the AEW title and show up on Dynamite on Wednesday night with both belts. I would be shocked if that happened.
Now, I something just popped into my mind, Dan, and this could be, I mean, we talk about wrestling being a carny business. What if?
Oh, no.
The invisible hand, Don Callis's plan this whole time was to get the belt onto Kenny, who he could manipulate, get Tony Khan to agree to having this match, putting the belts up against each other, and then he cheats to have Rich Swann win the AEW belt.
What?
I just galaxy brained all over this podcast.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, we're talking about the invisible hand, Don Callis, Dan.
You should.
should I put this in writing in case it happens, so I can be like,
yeah, give me QAnon Jace.
Give me my blue check mark, please. I mean,
this is like space lasers. No, I don't think this is going to happen.
I don't either. Canadian space lasers, it would be the case, since, of course, you know, Don Callis is from Canada. But yeah, no, I think this thing isn't no contest, which for a build up to a pay-per-view for the first time in a long time of main event of a one-on-one promotion versus promotion match would be a sour way for it to end. As wrestling fans, I think we like to see a winner and a loser. We don't like those double count out, you know, Hogan versus, you know, Warrior, or Hogan versus whoever, you know, because, you know, Terry refuses to do jobs. You know, we don't like to see that anymore, right? We don't buy that as a finish anymore.
So just forgetting Dynamite and AEW for a whole second here, and just a minute, I'm just hoping, here's what I think might happen is Kenny's going to win and he's going to show up on Impact, you know, for several weeks.
He could.
And Moose is going to be like, Rich, you didn't get the job done. I'm going to get the job done. And this leads to a match between Moose and Kenny.
Yeah. My only other thing that I would want to happen, if that is the case, right, if Kenny does win and he becomes the Impact champion and he shows up on TV, which he and Don Callis said on Impact this week, that he would show up on Impact as the champion, is that they give someone the chance to make themselves on Kenny Omega, right?
Right.
I don't know who that is.
How about Chris Bay? I've heard some speculation on him.
Chris Bay would be a great choice. I think Eddie Edwards would be a great choice. The only problem with Eddie is that he's not a spring chicken anymore. He wrestled in Japan, you know, and has the ability to go with that same style. So, I mean, it we'll see what happens. But I think if Kenny does win, you got to have, I don't think Moose is the guy to go and take the Impact title back from him, because it doesn't help anybody. The bigger, stronger guy took the belt back, right? Like, that doesn't tell a story. But if you send like Trey Miguel out there and he has a 30-minute war with Kenny Omega and he wins back the belt for his promotion, that's a different story.
Right.
So,
yeah, I'm that's another reason why I'm excited for this pay-per-view. I'm intrigued to see how they get out of this at the end, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully they don't like lay an egg. Hopefully it's not, you know, non-exploding deathmatch ending and they actually have a winner and a loser. But
yeah, not that we want to talk about, you know, the impotence of the AEW exploding ring. But yeah, that was oof. Yeah, I think this would be better, Dan. I don't think that this is gonna end with a fizzle. I think it'll go out with a bang. And maybe that bang is, of course, Kenny Omega saying bang. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, it's Kenny Omega in a title match on pay-per-view.
By Mauro Ranallo. I mean, what else do you want, Dan?
Chances are good that it's going to be a great match. So I'm excited for it.
I am too. And we hope that all of you are as well. That wraps us up. You know, we just wanted to get a good preview out there and really just talk to you, the people, the seven or eight of us that listen. And then, you know, of course, Dan is one of our listeners. So now that Dan, you're on this episode, you're probably not going to listen to this one. So maybe we only have six.
I'll still download it.
Still download it. But we might only have six actual listeners.
Both feeds.
Yeah, there you go. Make sure you do, download both feeds. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at 8BitSuplex. Follow the network at Social Suplex. Definitely check out all of our t-shirts on ProWrestlingTees/Social Suplex. We, of course, have the great 8-Bit Suplex shirt on there. Be sure to check out all of our other great shows, like, of course, the Keeping It Strong Style, One Nation Radio, All Things Elite, which I'm on this week. I may have mentioned that a couple times on this episode. We got a few other ones out there. Ricky and Clive, Grave Consequences, Great Match Generator. I feel like I'm missing one. Maybe I am, and I'll feel like shit later, but I can't think of it right now. Dan, you got anything that you want to promote, bud?
You can always follow me on Twitter at @coffin_Dan. I put Simpsons memes into the world and I, you know, dunk on politicians and that's about it. I don't really do a whole lot on there. I also will promote the Pro Wrestling Tees store. You guys do have a new shirt out this week that you failed to mention. That is one of that's my true. Favorite shirts of all time.
That's true.
It's Olds on Top. You know, we gotta let everybody know who's running this world. Olds, you know.
as if my generation, Dan, wasn't already reminded of that every single day when we can't find housing and can't have decent paying jobs. It is a new shirt on Social Suplex site on Pro Wrestling Tees. It kind of looks like the OnlyFans logo, but it is not the OnlyFans logo, and is not inspired by that at all. And any other legal things that I have to say so that we don't get sued about it. But yeah, it says Olds on Top because, you know, I mean, just look at AEW the last couple of weeks.
Right.
Jericho, Christian Cage. I mean,
Sting.
Edge was in it.
Sting!
Edge was in the main event of WrestleMania. I mean, Olds are on top. I mean, that's just the way it goes. You know,
got Muto over in Noah.
Sorry, young guys. But no, yeah, seriously though, guys, make sure you do download the episodes wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you check out the other shows. Make sure you buy Impact Rebellion. I have a feeling it's going to be can't miss. If you do get together, you know, with friends to watch it, you know, please be safe. Please make sure to wash your hands. You know, keep distancing if you go to any place to watch it that you're not at someone's home. We're almost out of this. I get vaccine number two on Tuesday. I think, Dan, you're not too far behind me, right?
I get my second dose on Thursday.
So, yeah, I mean, and that'll be
Moderna for life, bro.
And I represent the Pfizer World Order, of course, the PWO. So, but yeah, definitely listen, if you have the chance to get your vaccine, go get it. But until then, and even after then, you know, please mask up, please social distance, stay safe, and look out for each other. And we'll see you guys all next week on the 8-Bit Suplex.
Thank you for listening to the 8-Bit Suplex podcast. See you next time.